Afternoon, guys. We'll start with the broadcast section with no embargo, followed by an embargo section for 10:30 p.m. tonight. No live tweeting during the broadcast section, please, and use the microphone provided. Paul.
Thank you. Hi, Ange. Have you got any fresh injury worries, any returning players, and in particular, Poro and Udogie? Are they fit to play?
Yeah, we've had sort of a couple of setbacks this week. Destiny obviously picked up a little bit of a knock last week, and not available for tomorrow. Don't think it's anything too serious. With no game next weekend, he should be back. Pedro picked up a strain of training. Again, probably a couple of weeks for him. With a game break, hopefully doesn't miss too many. And probably the major one for us is Fraser Foster. Got a knock at training, got a bit of a fracture in his foot, so he'll probably miss conservatively a couple of months there. So they're the main three. Coming back, nothing changed from last week. Everyone was available.
In terms of performances, I think it's the best points tally for this stage of a campaign in the last five seasons. You've scored in every league game this season. What do you send to the players at this point when it comes to meeting targets for the season, or maybe setting targets between now and the end of the season?
I don't think you can sort of be specific around it. What we want to do is try and finish the season, really strong. We started the season strong, and then obviously we had some challenges kind of through that middle period that we handled it not too bad. Obviously the results weren't great, but our sort of competitive levels were still decent through that time. And it's about finishing the season strong. I don't think it's any different to any other team. You can have sort of specific targets, but ultimately, if we can finish the season strong, we'll be in a decent position.
And away from Tottenham, it's obviously been a difficult week for Roy Hodgson. I just want to talk about the pressures of management and any support for him at the moment.
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't think it's my place to talk about Roy or kind of his situation right now or his health for that matter, because they're all private matters. But, everyone knows the standing he has in the game. And, it's a weird sort of occupation we have. There aren't many where, people pretty much, dictate to or try and create a narrative where you're pretty much finished and then are also putting up your replacement while you're still in the position. But that's the way the world these days. I guess we sign up for it, everyone expects it. But I don't think it diminishes Roy's standing in the game in any way. And above all, hopefully he bounces back quickly.
Hi, good afternoon. I want to ask you about the partnership between Mickey van de Ven and Christian Romero. It takes time to build this type of balance and chemistry and understanding and trust. How surprised or how impressed are you with the way they managed to build this relationship?
Yeah, it's been really pleasing. As you said, like centre-back partnerships, most of the time, they tend to build together because you need so much understanding in a crucial part of the game where a lot of it is almost unspoken, where, you need to be able to understand each other's game. And I think they complement each other really well. I think I've just been super impressed with Romero this year, the way he's, I already knew he was one of the best defenders in the world, but the way he's kind of tackled the whole leadership area and, really sort of become disciplined in his play, and how he's not just Mickey, but the other players, he's kind of really guiding them in the right way, but especially Mickey. And, Mickey, I've already spoken about the way he's adjusted to the Premier League has been outstanding. So it's great for those two. Obviously, we missed both of them during the middle part of the year. So it's good to have them both back out there.
Question about Brennan Johnson, please. Becoming a bit of a super sub. We saw the goal against Brighton, the goal against Brentford as well. How impressed you've been with him with his role at the team?
Yeah, again, look, I always feel it's harder for attacking players because invariably people just measure them against one thing, and particularly, in Brennan's case, he's a young man and there's a transfer fee attached, and then people just measure it on one thing. But, we didn't bring Brennan to the club just for this year. He's here for the long term, and I know he's going to grow a lot more. He's probably played, certainly started more games than I thought he would, but again, we've had some real issues, with injuries during the early part of the year, and Yeah, he's tackled every task, you know, really well. And, you know, he's he's got a couple of goals. You know, people forget he's been unlucky a couple of times, hit the post here and there. So, but ultimately that's, you know, he knows that, you know, the measure for attacking players at any football club, especially the big ones, is sort of your output in that final third. And, you know, pleased for him that he's getting those rewards.
Wolves have been one of the most pleasant surprises of the season. You remember the game back in November. What do you expect from them this weekend?
Pretty much what you've got from them all year. You know, I think Gary's done an outstanding job. You know, they've got, you know, they work hard for each other. They're a well-organised team. We saw that, you know, when we played them at their place. You know, they worked hard to the last minute and got the result. And they've also got some, you know, some pretty, you know, special individual players in that group as well. And yeah, they're always a threat going forward. They're exciting when they run with the ball. So, you know, we're expecting a tough game, but I think you get to this point of the year and, yeah, I don't think there'll be too many easy ones because everyone's got something to play for, I think. You know, we're expecting a tough one.
Rob. Hi, Ange. Ryan Sessegnon was involved in training yesterday. Where is he in terms of his fitness, and is he someone who could potentially be back in the first team squad soon?
Yeah, look, he's back training, which is the first step. Now he's just got to sort of put a body of work together at training and then we'll kind of assess it from there. But, yeah, this is kind of the first week he's had with us. Yeah, with Sess, it's just a matter of, like I said, it's about getting a body of work together. It gives him confidence, gives us confidence that his body will be good. And so far, yeah, this week he's trained well, done everything he's been asked of, and hopefully that continues.
So he's someone you want to get on the pitch sooner rather than later. I mean, has all the qualities you want.
It's the same as everyone else, mate. No different. I want all of them to be out there. I want all of them to be available. He's no different. Obviously, he's gone through a tough time, but, yeah, there's no point in me sort of putting any extra sort of pressure on him. He knows kind of his biggest hurdle is just going to be being out there for a prolonged time. He kind of had a false start when we got him out there a few weeks back because, you know, we had a lot of injuries. But, you know, like I said with Sess, it's just about him getting a body of work together and then he'll feel better and I think he'll feel more confident about taking an opportunity.
After the Wolves game tomorrow, you've got a two-week break. Is that beneficial time on the training pitch with your players, or would you just rather have another game?
Yeah, no, probably this kind of time of the year, you'd rather have a game because, you know, you're kind of, we've only got one a week anyway. We're obviously not in Europe, not in the Cup. So it also means that, you know, that game's going to get jammed somewhere where, you know, we're going to have to play, you know, some pretty big fixtures in a short space of time. So much rather have a game, but we've kind of known we're not going to have that game next weekend. So we're planning accordingly.
Thanks,
Charlie. Just wait for the microphone. Oh,
Just wanted to ask you then, without Destiny and Pedro, how that affects the way you play. Maybe it doesn't, that it's just other people have got to step in and do that role because they've been so important to how you've played this season.
Yeah, it doesn't change the way of play, but I think I've said in the past that every player brings their own sort of unique you know, abilities to each position. The structure won't change, the manner in which we kind of set up won't change, but, you know, different players bring different attributes. And yeah, Pedro and Destiny have been sort of, you know, outstanding for us this year. You know, Pedro's pretty much played every game apart from maybe the first one where he didn't start. And and Destiny, every time he's been out there for us, has been really important. They're both improving. But as I said, you know, they're missing now and it'll be an opportunity for a couple of other guys to come in and, you know, make sure that we maintain the levels we've kind of set so far.
One of those players obviously could be Radu. What have you made of him so far? Has he been kind of desperate to get a start?
He's been great, you know. He's working hard. But, you know, it's, you know, he was at Genoa and he was playing. If just playing was all he was interested in, he would have stayed at Genoa. You know, if you want to move to big clubs, that's part of the process. And he knew that. That's why he took, and, you know, that's why you got, you know, I wanted him here because he knew the challenge of coming here, you know, and playing was not going to just be a given. It's about, you know, working away, and he's adapting. You know, we play a lot differently to what he's used to. We've used him in games, and I think he's done well when we've used him. And again, we didn't buy him for 6 months. We bought him to this football club for a long time, to be here for a long time. And we already seen this year, you know, losing our two central defenders, what an impact that had on our season. Well, I don't want that to happen in the future. So Radu is here for that, and over the next sort of, you know, 3-4 months before the end of the season, you know, it's about him adapting and working hard. But he's been outstanding at training, great attitude, really great amongst the players. The players are really kind of can see the qualities he has, and he's ready to play.
Just on another topic, I just wanted to ask, was that event yesterday for Proud Lilywhites celebrating 10 years at the LGBTQ plus fan group? And just how important to you and to the club is that inclusivity? Because it feels like Spurs are one of the kind of leading clubs, and it's that group has kind of led the way.
Yeah, I mean, look, I feel sort of, yeah, like I said, the club is it's very, very important to the club. For me, it's a bit different. I just take people as they are. I've never understood why you try and treat people differently for anything in life. And, you know, I guess the fact that we have to have, you know, such a different take on these things is kind of beyond me where I am in my life. But it's great that the club, you know, has been at the forefront of this. I know the guys came down to training, and you know, I had a chat to a few of them. They're really proud of what they've done the last 10 years, and hopefully that keeps growing. And yeah, and hopefully, you know, it rather than sort of us being a standard bearer in some form, it just becomes the norm.
Has that changed? Sorry, just a follow up. Has that changed a lot since, you know, that inclusivity awareness since you've been in the game, and has it changed enough?
Oh,
I guess.
Mate, yeah, it, mate, the world's changed. You know, it's. You got no idea, mate. You got no idea how much the world's changed. I still remember I was in the city with my kids yesterday, and they saw a phone booth and they didn't know what the hell it was, mate. So that's how I used to call your mum. So the world has changed a lot.
Okay. James, please.
Hi, Ange. I don't know if you've seen any of it, but there have been some reports this week suggesting you may be on Liverpool's shortlist to replace Jurgen Klopp. Just wondered if there was anything you could say about that, or wanted to say about that.
I may be on a shortlist. Yeah, no, I don't think I'd want to say anything about that, because I don't think that's ever going to enter my sort of brain space for what's my priorities in life and in my profession right now. And yeah, no.
You must feel, though, you're only just getting started here at Tottenham.
Well, I am, yeah. Not just feel, I am. I've only been here for 7 months, so I think that's self-explanatory. You know, a bit of pains to say that, you know, we're still, you know, we've still got a long way to go in terms of the football we want to play, you know, the team we want to be, the squad we want to have. You know, we've had, I think, two positive windows. I think we've had a decent campaign so far, but, you know, we've got a long way to go.
Do you think there's any doubt at all that you'll be here next season?
You see, but that's what I'm talking about. That's the funny space when we talk about managers. You know, when we're not going well, then they're questioning, you know, whether we're going to be here. When you potentially are going okay, then they're still questioning about whether you're going to be here. And the reality is, most of it's out of our hands. So I've never worried. I've never thought about that. I've got a history of 26 years of management where you can see pretty clear what I do, and I rely on that as my explanation as to where my thought processes are with all those kind of things. But like I said, right now it's about finishing the season strong with Tottenham and making sure that, you know, we're kind of trying to establish a really strong foundation for who we want to be in years to come, and that can only happen if, you know, I'm totally focused on what these last 14 games can bring for us.
Do you take any of the Liverpool chat as a compliment at all, or not?
Well, it depends, you know. If it's just people throwing up names, and who cares? Like, seriously, like, it doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, if I'm doing a good job, hopefully it does mean that, you know, people will acknowledge that in one form or another, whatever that form is. But, you know, so-called chat, I mean, really, it's not no of interest to me. Thanks.
Okay, and we'll finish with George, please.
Hi, Ange. Just want to take you back to that Wolves game in November. You kind of referenced that a little bit afterwards, talking about how you weren't happy with the way the team played. What was it about that performance that you sort of didn't like, and how much has the team grown, I guess, since then?
Yeah, look, it was just, I think there have been many games this year. There's probably been, you know, less than a handful of games where I just felt we end up playing for a result. Now, it's kind of natural at the time. We had a lot of injuries, obviously, in that game and before that game, and kind of we put out a lineup that, you know, guys hadn't played for quite a long time, and we got ourselves in front, and it's only natural, it's human nature for people then to try and hold on to that, you know, because it is a accomplishment, but you know, those kind of moments also I think are important for me to make sure that the players understand that that's not where we're at and that's not where we want to be. It's not just about chasing a result so we can, you know, sort of feel good about that. It's about staying true to who we want to be through this, especially this time where we're building something. And, you know, even if we had won that game 1-0, it wouldn't have left me any feeling any better about our approach. And again, it wasn't me being critical of the players. It's more about guidance to say, well, you know what, it's easier because we didn't get the reward. But even if we did get the reward, I would have sort of had the same message that that's not sort of, you know, where we want to be heading as a team. And like I said, for the most part, that hasn't happened. You know, it's probably two or three games I remember where we've done that. And, you know, it's kind of the stuff we want to sort of steer away from.
And Brendan Johnson scored that game, obviously scored at the weekend, and afterwards he was talking about how he's been really working on kind of timing those back post runs. I mean, it looks really simple getting there and you're shooting into an empty net, but how sort of impressed have you been with what you've been working on in mid-training, bringing that into games?
Yeah, really good. I mean, again, you know, Chris Dave's done a lot of work with the sort of front half guys with Meso, and a lot of our work is around that and getting our wingers or wide players into goal scoring positions. And again, it's the way I've kind of set my teams up for a very long time. And he's one that's really understood that. It's different from what he's done. And it's not easy. You know, trying to get that timing right when you arrive, having a good technique, but he's got a great technique under pressure, and he showed that last week. He's shown that the last couple of times. And it becomes really difficult to stop when you get that sort of synergy between our attacking players. So, you know, having a goal last week of sort of winger to winger is good, because it, you know, like I said before, they get rewarded for things we kind of speak about, and then, you know, they understand how important it is, and hopefully that keeps them sort of looking for more growth.
And just finally for me, I wanted to ask you about Rodrigo Bentancur. He's obviously had such a long time out, and before that was in really, really good form. And I guess coming back from such a long injury, there's sort of a management of expectations. Have you sort of had to manage his expectations because he feels like he should be the player he was back in 12 months ago, and he's maybe not there yet?
No, I haven't had to, and I wouldn't, you know. That'd be like somebody trying to manage my expectations. I just don't think that's my role. He sets very high standards, and look, it's not just the absence. I mean, he came back, and I thought in the Villa game he was outstanding, and then he gets a knock within 15, 20 minutes, and you know he's out again. So it's been disrupted even with the absence he's had. So, but I've been really happy with Roddy, and again, it's, I guess people look at it through the prism of kind of, you know, that players should be playing all the time and being influential all the time, but we're trying to build a squad here, and I've got no doubt that, you know, whatever Rodri does this year for us, and he's already contributed, you know, he's creating a great foundation for us for next year. And, you know, with the midfield setup we've got at the moment, the players we've got in there, it's going to be really exciting to see how they all grow.
Okay, we'll end the broadcast section there. We'll move on to the embargo for 10:30 p.m. tonight.